Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to something new, the More Than Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. I'm excited about this.
Me too. So this is something new because we have been doing these sort of every so often More Than Mom Hour episodes of the Mom Hour, where we talk about stuff outside of motherhood, just fun, you know, fun little things here and there. And then we realized we have a lot of that kind of stuff to talk about and that it would be really fun to kind of just make that its own thing. So
yeah, and we don't want it to take away from, we still have plenty to say about motherhood and parenting.
Right.
Just not enough podcast days in the week, Megan.
There aren't. I know. We just need more. So this is going to be a new separate series and airing on Sundays. Not every single Sunday, but you can expect it a couple times a month or more. And then it's going to be a little shorter, but it's going to show up in the same feed. So you just go to themomhour.com and you'll find More Than Mom Hour. If you're looking for a specific episode, you can search for it right there at themomhour.com. And it will show up in the same feed on whatever podcast app you use.
Yep, so you don't have to go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little bonus. I love this week's topic. I wanted to start with a really easy one and something that I've been thinking about a lot. And that is beauty product nostalgia.
I love this.
And I will tell you what actually made me think of this conversation or this topic. I watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, I've been wanting to watch that.
It's fantastic. And there's this whole bit in the early part of the first season where every night she puts cold cream on her face. Mm-hmm. And for some reason that got me thinking about Noxzema and how I used to use Noxzema religiously. And I honestly could not tell you the last time I saw a jar of Noxzema. And I don't know if they don't sell it anymore or if I just don't notice it anymore. Maybe they sell it in a different kind of package. I really don't know. But it just got me thinking about all those beauty products that were a staple of my life in like the 80s and 90s when I was coming of age. And also, I think it's going to be really interesting, Sarah, since I'm a little bit older than you, but also went to school quite a bit earlier than you. Like I was on the really young end for my grade.
Yes. So you're like 2.5 years older, 4 grades ahead of me.
Yeah.
And you had an older sister, which I just feel like makes you... You aged up faster than I did or something.
Yes, I had access to her products from an early age. And so that definitely changed things. So I'm really excited to talk about this.
It's going to be really fun. When you started naming off yours, it just triggers all of those memories. And I actually had to Google a couple of mine. And sure enough, they came up because while it's one little piece of my memory, you forget that like I was pretty mainstream. So I was using the lipstick that everybody was using.
Right.
And when I looked for it, there it was with the name. I couldn't remember the name of the color. And there it was because it was totally a popular thing. This is going to be really fun. So first up, we have a sponsor for this More Than Mom series, and that is Kind Snacks. I love this because we always talk about our friends at Kind Snacks as like the just for mom snack that we keep in our bags and our purse and our pantry and don't let our kids get into. So Kind makes all kinds of snacks. They have breakfast bars. They have a new line of protein bars. And then their regular Kind snacks that you see in the grocery store and at your gym. They're all made with ingredients you can actually see and pronounce. And they have a really cool option called the Kind Snack Club that I'm actually a paying member of. We've had our podcast relationship with Kind for some time, but this was just a really easy way for me to switch up flavors and flavors that they do not have in my Costco or grocery store. And the way the snack club works, first you get a sampler box of a whole bunch of different 10 different snacks in all different flavors and different styles. And I love the dark chocolate nuts and sea salt. I love anything with that salted caramel flavor, but they also have some spicy ones.
I was going to say they have the savory ones, which I think is really interesting. Yeah. You don't usually see that in a bar. So,
exactly. Yeah. And
Very fun.
With that sample box, you just pay shipping. And so they send it to you for free, and then you can get going with the Kind Snack Club, which is a flavor that you choose every month, and you can switch out the flavors. You can get special discounts. It's basically awesome, and it keeps my just for mom snack stocked in the pantry. So I know
how many times have I said Kind bars saved my life today?
I know because you have 57 jobs, as we've talked about recently on the podcast. So you need sustenance.
Got to have sustenance, and it's got to be easy and healthy, and you know something I can just grab and go with. So
totally. Awesome. So if you've been hearing us talk about Kind and haven't gotten that sampler box, why not? You literally just pay shipping, and it's such a fun way to sample all those snacks. So you go to kindsnacks.com/mom Again, it's kindsnacks.com/mom, M-O-M. And that'll give you the full details on the snack club and as well as the deal where you just pay the shipping and get that sampler box in the mail and fill your belly with wholesome snacks. Love it.
Are you ready to dig in?
I am.
Are you I'm rolling up my sleeves.
You are driving the bus.
I am driving the bus. That's also a different thing about this. We decided since we're adding more content so that Sarah wouldn't lose her ever-loving mind, I would actually kind of be in charge of this, which is, this is the right kind of thing to put me in charge of because it's really going to just be kind of fun and talking about silly things and, you know.
You are great off the cuff. These episodes don't need as much structure. We're just going to laugh a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we get started, I really hope listeners give us feedback on these. The feeling of these episodes will be a little more casual, a little more relaxed, but we heard from you guys that you're all about that and that that's super fun for you. So I also think we're going to be talking about things that people want to chime in on, like, oh, I remember that.
Right. Yeah,
so
yeah. Oh, no, I totally
want to
hear that.
Shoot us an email after you listen to this or leave a comment on the show notes or however you find us. You guys know where we are. So, okay, now go.
All right. Now I'm going to dig in. Now okay. So not only do I remember a lot of products from the late 80s and early 90s, I remember a lot of slogans and a lot of jingles. So I may burst into song.
I hope so.
During this episode. But I organized my thoughts starting with, you know, just by body part or whatever. Okay. And so I'm going to start with hair.
OK.
We can just kind of go back and forth. So my first hair product, like hair shampoo obsession that I remember was Germac shampoo.
That name sounds familiar, but I can't place it at all.
Well, would you like me to sing you
yes, please.
The jingle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At least this is how it was in the 90s. It was Germac Bounce Back, beautiful hair.
Oh, yeah.
Germac Bounce Back, beautiful hair. Okay, so that was the song.
Okay.
I did not discover Germac until I was, I don't know, 12 or 13, and it was at Sam's Club, of all places. And this was like early Sam's Club. I don't remember. I don't think it had been around very long. And my stepmom bought an enormous bottle of it. And I don't know why, to me, it seemed really fancy. It wasn't. It was just shampoo.
Okay.
But I really got into it. Like, I loved the smell of it. And I thought for some reason it made my hair, like, feel so much better than any other shampoo I'd ever used. So I was mildly obsessed with that until Herbal Essences took over. And
right.
I'm sure you had experience.
Yes.
With Herbal Essences.
Yes. That is one more I remember. I remember the hairspray. Do you remember how it would look like the flowers were like in the back of the bottle? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it was painted on the inside.
Yes.
Yes.
And I just remember like that kind of pastel creaminess of the conditioners, like
yes.
the color and how they smelled. I don't remember having a specific smell like that.
Well,
I
thought Herbal Essences was just one smell.
I thought.
Did they branch out?
I feel like they did.
Okay. Because I remember it having, like, I remember the first time I used it thinking, this is the best smelling thing I have ever smelled in my entire life.
Maybe and they had spinoffs.
They must have later, because I think at first it was like, it's Clairol, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And I thought the whole thing was the one scent, but I could be totally wrong.
So could I.
Speaking of smell, I'm going to need some listeners to help me out with this.
Okay.
I had this, I want to say hairspray, when I was in 8th grade. So that would have been 1989. And it smelled like apples.
How are you in 8th grade? I feel like our math is wrong. I graduated from 8th grade in 94.
I graduated high school in 94.
You're only 2 years older than me. This is so
I know, but I was born in 77, and I was definitely in 8th grade and 12
when I was 12 years old. And you skipped like 5 grades. Okay.
I skipped one, but I'm also, remember I also have like a late, I have a July birthday. So I was very young anyway. Then I skipped a grade.
Okay.
So that put me ahead like 2 grades. So I was a babe, a wee babe.
Okay.
But anyway, this shampoo and hairspray, it was like a whole line. And it was very, very late 80s. It was think scrunch socks or slouch socks in bright colors. But you would like flip them so that they, you know, you'd layer them and flip them.
I'm with you.
That time, scrunchies, think this is the time your hair was so crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would spray, but it wasn't a aerosol can. It was a spritz, which always made your hair crunchier, I thought. Mm-hmm. And so it was some kind of spray that smelled like apples. And I want to say there was also a watermelon version. And I was really into that whole year, but I've Googled my butt off and I cannot find
what
this stuff was
hairspray.
Called. Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. Do you have anything like that? Like, it's just lost?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple. But I was going to say on the hair note, what first of all, I don't think I really used any kind of product. I didn't even really use conditioner until I was like maybe late high school. Like I just washed my hair. I let it, I don't, maybe it was a California thing. Like I just didn't, I washed my hair, but I didn't do much else with it. I do remember spraying my bangs in like right around 1990, like 89, 90, but I was pretty young. I was like not even middle school yet. So it was just like a half, like an effort on the bangs. But the shampoo I remember being in every like grown up bathroom was Paul Mitchell. Do you feel like that was like the salon? Like, I don't think I used it, but that's, I just remember Paul Mitchell products being everywhere from the salon.
My seventh and eighth grade locker room, all of the popular girls with money had Paul Mitchell.
Right.
And it always smelled of Paul Mitchell, but like I was, it's kind of like a banana smell or something, right? Isn't it? It's like a, I can almost smell it.
I mean, it's like a tropical-y. Hair salon. It just smells. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You probably remember better than me.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong one because there was another one. There was Biolage as well, mm-hmm. which was another one that was popular. And to me, that was something like grown-ups would have used that I would not have been allowed to have for myself.
Yeah, I don't think I had Paul Mitchell in my own bathroom, but I think my mom had it in hers.
But there were definitely girls in school who did have that. And so it was kind of this status symbol to whip out your bottle of Paul Mitchell and spray it all around. I'm just like, I'm visualizing all these girls in front of the mirror, like teasing their bangs. And there's just a cloud of Paul Mitchell. And so people funny. Talk about Aquanet. That was not a thing for me.
I think Aquanet was earlier, wasn't it? Like,
yeah,
really
it must
80s.
Have been. Like when you really had to like rat your hair. We did use Rave for a little while. That was when people were trying to get those wings on the side.
Yeah, that came up in, I have a great blog post from shenos.com about this exact topic. And Rave was in there, I think. Aquanet would have been like, since I was a dancer, like Aquanet would have been what you used like for a hardcore shellacked ballet bun. But that was not for like recreational hair. Styles.
That was not for your everyday
for the
hair.
Stage for the yes. stage.
Now one thing we both came up with was sun and spray.
Yes.
Now in Michigan you use sun and spray to make it look like you had access to a beach when you did not.
I mean, we would still use it and then go to the beach. I mean, just the natural highlights. And I always remember thinking, I remember this sort of like dual personality where on the one hand I kind of like wanted this extreme highlighted look. And I did have like dirty blonde, kind of honey blonde hair. So I had the kind of hair that would have highlighted really well. There was some blonde and some, you know, mousy brown. But I remember, because didn't you put it on when it was wet, some of it? Or maybe that was...
There was two brands. There was Sun In and there was a different one. But I think they were both just hydrogen peroxide.
Right.
But like one had like lemon juice in it to make it seem more natural.
So well. But anyway, I always remember kind of hoping that the effect would be extreme, but then also kind of being relieved when it wasn't. Like it was just barely noticeable.
Yeah. No, totally. And I had also light colored hair. So for me, the effect was never like I wasn't in the sun that much. And it really just it would have taken a lot for there to be noticeable highlights in my hair, I think. So. Yeah, I had the same thing. Like, oh, I really want to look like the girl in the package. But at the same time, I really just kind of want my normal hair.
Yeah. And it never was a little quite bit more extreme.
Yeah. Do you have any more hair?
I don't think so. I think I was really low maintenance. Like, I didn't learn how to blow dry my hair until I was in college. I think I was like hair challenged.
You know, one thing that is interesting, and I don't remember if we've talked about it on the podcast before, but the last time before now, so I have longer hair again, but the last time I had truly long hair was probably close to 20 years ago. It was when Jacob was a baby. And the product was so terrible then. Like there weren't balms and pomades. You could get some of that stuff at the higher end salons, but it cost a lot.
No serums.
You could not. Yeah. The serum, like you just couldn't walk into the store and buy that stuff that would tame your hair or help it do, you know, what you wanted it to do and stuff. So product has come a long way. And I feel like it just all smelled good when we were younger, but I don't know that it actually did anything. It just smelled good. All right. So I'm going to move on to skin.
Okay.
I already talked about Noxzema. I have to tell you that after I started thinking about Noxzema, it led me to go into this like rabbit hole of research about kind of like the rise of the cold cream and where, like why it fell out of fashion And a lot of people said things like in these articles that I would find, like, if you ever find a really old person and they look fantastic, like their skin looks great, it's because of either Pond's Cold Cream or Noxzema. So
funny.
I don't know. I can't confirm that that was all just, and you know, just
so why are anecdotal. We not still using it? Is it bad
right?
for you? This is
well,
my...
no. And remember how minty and cool it would feel?
Yes.
I think honestly the reason we don't use it anymore is because the products we use now are much more medical.
Mm.
You know, like there's more ingredients, there's more active ingredients
more
that there's just, yeah, like the science took over and Noxzema just wasn't flashy. It was just basically mentholated cold cream.
Yeah. Hm.
That what's her face was the.
Oh, yeah. What is her name? Now everyone's yelling at us in their car.
No, not Carrie. I know. Sorry.
It'll be by the end of this episode. We'll have
wait,
it.
Wait, didn't we already have a fight about this? Like, I thought it was a Felicity girl and you said it wasn't.
It's
it was
not.
The other girl.
No, we okay. looked it up. Yeah. Yes.
We looked it up. Okay. Well,
we already decided that... I was right.
It's the girl with the curly hair.
It's yes, she has curly hair. Everyone is yelling the answer in their car. And
it's something Hart. Something. She's got her last name ends in like something Hart.
Okay.
It'll come
yes.
to me. Anyway.
Gearhart. Rebecca Gearhart.
Gearhart. Yeah. Oh, you did it. You did it.
Thanks,
okay. So
me.
That reminds me of a couple of other really simple skincare products I used okay. when I was in like a teenager. One was St. Ives apricot scrub.
Okay. I do remember that.
It has enormous like hulls in it.
Yes.
Like. It's not like the scrubs that are little beads.
Right.
You'd be using it and
like
there would
pulpy.
Be there was pulp. There would be like a hull, like kind of scratching your face. But I always thought that meant it was getting really clean. And, you know, so that was one of them. And then Seabreeze Toner. Do you remember Seabreeze Toner?
Mm-mm.
I think Seabreeze went out of fashion in the very early 90s or maybe even late 80s. And I think it was replaced by there was another brand that sold a very bracing. Astringent.
Okay.
And I can see it in my head. Maybe I'll think of it. And that was more like, I think, high school age for me and then for you.
Okay.
But I definitely remember Seabreeze. Like, I remember when my skin started getting kind of greasy in like mm-hmm. seventh or eighth grade. I think I borrowed my sister's and was probably just drying myself out like crazy. But
that's so funny. Well, that one of mine was those astringent pads that you'd wipe on your face. Were they Clearasil? Like the really astringent.
Stridex,
maybe.
Stridex had like they were quilted and super rough on your skin.
Yeah, yes. I just don't remember Stridex as the name, but it doesn't matter. We're talking about the same thing. So I do remember those. I also used Neutrogena, which I still use a lot of Neutrogena products, but the bright orange like acne
oh, that,
face.
Yeah,
wash.
Like the see-through bar.
Yeah, so there was yes. the bar, and that was I remember like really the when I first started washing my face as like a thing that you do. You know, sixth or seventh grade. And then pretty soon after that, the pump, liquid in the pump, but definitely
yeah, oh,
the
yeah.
soap bar first.
Oh, I remember that smell.
Yes. And
like
then,
a very medicinal smell.
I was not a big beauty product person and I'm still really not, but I did a mask and it would come out like really sticky and clear on your fingers and you'd spread it all over like you do a mask. And then when you'd peel it off, it was like peeling off like glue or something off your face.
This
it was
sounds
less
familiar.
It was less thick than like a mud mask, right? So
right.
when it went on, it was clear. So it would be like if you had like a clear Elmer's glue or something like that. And I remember just wanting it to kind of like pull all like, this is gross.
All
like
your blackheads out?
And, yes, like just wanting that like clear feeling. And I did that pretty often. I remember liking doing that. And that was one of the only kind of mask things I ever did. And again, I have no idea what the brand was, but it was very, it came off sticky and clear and kind of gummy on your fingers. And then you rubbed it around and it dried out and you peeled it off.
That definitely is ringing a bell. And it also reminds me of Biore pore strips.
Right. I do remember those. I feel like I only did those at my friends' houses. I'm not sure if I ever bought them, but yes.
They came out, I want to say I was in high school when those came out and I used them a lot for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And I never... They were like weirdly satisfying because you could see the gunk
yes.
that they pulled out
yes.
of your face.
That
but it was
really
like they
satisfying.
Never quite pulled enough gunk out
right.
and I wanted them to pull out more gunk. I also remember reading beauty magazines and like at the end where they would advertise all those products.
Yes.
There was always this little zit thing that you could buy and I always wanted to like send away
yes.
for it. That would like extract your blackheads
yes.
out of your face and I wanted one really badly and I never bought one for some reason.
I think
and
I had
kind of
one.
To this day want one.
It's so satisfying. You're not supposed to.
Was it like a little vacuum or?
No, it was just like a circular. The one I had was just circular, but it just put enough pressure on the outside to get the job
that's what
done.
That's what they use. Like, that's what estheticians use when you get a facial. Okay. They just, well, it's just like this some, little.
I had something Homebot, and I did not remember that until you just said that. I also have a terrible memory, I'm realizing. Listeners are probably like, what the heck? Okay.
Well, it's okay. You did remember, and that's the important thing. I think there was such an obsession. I think that the the theme we're seeing here is that there was like this obsession with scrubbing away and pulling and extracting things out of your face.
And also
at that age.
Like the hope that these products would provide, which seemed somehow larger than just popping a blackhead. But like, you know, we would look like the Noxzema girl.
We all really did. And I also just remembered one other thing. When in the 90s was when Proactive was becoming a thing, but it's expensive. And I remember the only girls I remember having it either had like serious acne problems or had money to spend on that.
Okay.
And I'm always just really surprised that Proactive is still around. And now it seems like it's just still hanging in there and doing really, really well. And I'm always curious, like, if it's more like in use, if you can buy it in stores, because that was a big thing. You could not buy Proactive in the store. You had to buy
it on
TV.
Right. Yes, I do remember the TV commercials and the magazine, like before and afters. Yes. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. So just another, I don't know, blast from the past. One other thing I was going to say is I do think Clearasil did have pads as well. I think now this is going to sound a little strange. I have a weird memory for stuff like this. I believe Clearasil's pads were thinner.
Okay.
And had a more delicate quilt.
Okay.
And like, I don't know, like I think the weave was different. And then I think the Stridex pads were like slightly rougher.
Okay.
And like more exfoliating. But I'm pretty sure the ingredients for both was pure rubbing alcohol. So.
I think I'm pretty sure I had Clearasil. The name Stridex like doesn't ring a bell in the same familiar way that Clearasil does. And I
also am pretty sure I remember the commercial for Stridex. The girl would like, you know, rub the pad over her face and like little stars would pop out, like little animated stars indicating cleanliness and a complete lack of grease. So we'll have to look that up later too. Oh, so many product related memories. I was just like a marketer's dream because I just retained
just
everything.
Like, I'll take 10.
Exactly. And I think that we need to hear like what that clear mask was, because I bet you, again, there are listeners who are like, oh, my gosh, we know.
And
what you're
I was much simpler and more limited. So it was probably made by Clearasil or Neutrogena.
Right.
Like it was, you know, I wasn't probably sampling as many different things, but I just have a really clear memory of how it felt. Peeling it off.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk really quick about makeup. I feel like with makeup, I don't remember really having any brands that I was really loyal to. I think I liked to try a lot of different things. One exception is that I always had this compact by Maybelline. It was the same compact my sister had always used since I could remember. So like a pressed powder. Mm-hmm. And it was minty smelling. It had like a really kind of minty scent. And I think maybe it may have been a Noxzema partnership or something. Okay. And I don't know that they sell it anymore because I have not been able to find the same minty fresh compact anymore.
Yeah. I have a real visual image of the compact. I was not a compact. I didn't really wear makeup on my face till later. So I don't even think I owned a compact, but I do remember the exact kind of shape and feel of the ones that other girls would carry around. Like they were like kind of heavier and like more substantial than they are now. And
I totally agree.
Specific memory.
They felt like they were a thing that was going to stick around for a while. Often the inside where the makeup went was metal. And I don't think that's the case anymore. I think they're just all plastic now.
Right.
But there would be like a metal like liner inside.
As
coming of age in the 80s and 90s, we need to talk about like mascara and blue eyeshadow and stuff like that. But do you ever remember clear mascara?
Yes, I do remember clear mascara. It has no place in my heart because I am a mascara person and have been my whole life. When we were just together, I forgot my mascara, which is like a cardinal sin in my world.
Yeah.
And your mascara was like 100 years old. Like it had no black stuff left on it. You were like, you can use mine. I'm like, what is this?
You know, at one point you're like, can we just go to the gift shop and get new mascara? And I was like, I'm so sorry my mascara failed you. The thing is, I use it as a way to, and then that was actually one that had just been in that makeup bag for a while. So it wasn't the best, but I just didn't care.
Right. I just use a lot of mascara. Like any other makeup product could last me 10 years and I would need to throw it out. But I actually go through mascara before the date after which you should throw it away. You know how they say, like, you shouldn't keep eye makeup longer than whatever it is. But we all do. We all have, like, 8-year-old eyeshadow in our drawers. But mascara, I actually go through it. And I never run out of it. It's like a security thing. And
next time, I'll be sure to have a better backup for you.
That's all right. I mean, I should not have forgotten my mascara. That was ridiculous. So clear mascara
is useless. Yes,
it is useless. And my eyelashes are blonde at the tips, which is why I need mascara. So clear does nothing for me. I need...
Yeah, no, it's a useless product. I will say my mom got it for me when I was 11 as my, like, introduction into makeup.
I think that's, yeah, I get that.
And so I used it, you know, till it was gone. So for my entire, you know, year that I was 11, that would have been going into seventh grade for me. And so I would use it and I'd be like, really? Is this what it does? Because I just don't, it would make them, like, slightly harder and thicker and longer, but my eyelashes are blonde.
Yeah, yeah.
And not particularly long. So it was just kind of dumb. But it did kind of show me how to use the brush. And I can, you know, I can see the value.
And then you don't have the thing where, like, you, like an 11-year-old could quite easily use way too much mascara. And, oh, like, make a big mess and look terrible.
Yeah,
That is,
but,
like,
since then, I've been like, well, this is dumb. I don't, I'd love to hear from someone for whom, you know, clear mascara actually served a purpose. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, and maybe if you have really dark lashes, that is, like, it could separate and
add a little thickness and little, you know, just the illusion of more length, but I don't know.
Well, for mascara, I wrote down blue mascara, which is a very, now we're getting, like, late 90s. So by the late 90s, you were having babies already, and this is where, like, our paths maybe diverge a little bit, but.
But blue mascara was also big in the late 80s.
Really? Okay.
They had a comeback.
I missed it then, but I think it had, like, a short-lived, but I was all over that blue mascara. I just like all mascara, but not clear mascara.
I think blue mascara came back around the time that, like, jelly sandals came back. There was this brief end,
like,
of
rave
the
culture
90s.
A little bit. Like,
yep.
And that was actually pretty big where I was, because there was a lot of, I don't know. I feel like my high school had as much alternative fashion as it did mainstream preppy fashion, like, not very preppy. So you were either, like, hippie fashion or, like, rave culture or surf culture, but there wasn't as much, like, I don't know, like, I've talked before about the J. Crew catalog, how it was, like, might as well have been Mars to me, because nobody I knew dressed like Abercrombie and J. Crew until I went to the Midwest. So it's another, maybe a regional thing, but I agree. I think the jelly sandals, the blue mascara was like a late 90s. But yeah, I liked the blue mascara.
And all the colorful nail polish is, like,
that
started to make a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I was in college.
Yep. So Clueless, I think, was 95, but then it might have taken a couple years. But that hard candy brand, and I remember a light yellow, and I remember I was probably 17, so you were definitely in college by this point. And I just remember that really opaque, kind of thick looking, very matte. And thick pastel colors. And I had a yellow that I really liked.
Yeah. Hard candy was just starting to take off. I thought, like, in the, I don't know, 95, 96, it was in Delia's. You could buy it in Delia's.
Yes.
And and I actually, Jenna and I in college mixed our own because we weren't going to pay for hard candy nail polish. We would go buy Wet n Wild in different colors. Then we'd buy white and we'd mix our own.
So
we had, like, all kinds of pastels that we just made in college, which was really fun. Okay. So it's just kind of funny that stuff was kind of 80s prep. Like there was just a weird period of time where, like, trends were coming and going and coming and back and going away and coming back and going away. And, like, it's kind of funny now looking back at relatively how short a period there were between things going away and coming back, because there had been the very natural look for a while.
Yeah.
And then that kind of came back, and it was just kind of going back and forth, back and forth. And remember Vamp?
What's Vamp?
Vamp was that around that same time was that purpley, like, super dark, almost black purpley nail polish.
Was that a brand or a color?
It was a color. I want to say it was a L'Oreal, specifically a L'Oreal color, but it was huge in, like, 1995.
Okay.
But
I feel like I remember that look.
Yeah, it was, like, very it was kind of around the same time as Chunky Heels.
Yeah.
You put on your chunky heels, you'd put on your going out top and your black pants and your Vamp. In the Midwest anyway. I don't know what you guys did on the coast, but so.
I love it.
All right. Well, let's move on to lips, because lips for me is its own category because of my obsession with lip balms.
Okay.
I could probably name off 75 lip balms that I've gotten. And that's probably not even
We probably don't
accurate.
Have time for that. No, I'm just kidding.
No. But I will say Pot of Gloss was one that is hugely in my head. And there were two different Pot of Glosses. So there was the original Pot of Gloss, which was like in the 70s. And I don't think that was still around.
Okay.
But then Bonnie Bell came out with something called a gloss pot, but a lot of people called it Pot of Gloss, but I don't think it was actually called. So this is how deep my lip balm knowledge runs.
Okay.
There was another pot called Candy Kisses, and it was like a little tin, and they had all these different flavors. Like, I remember there was a vanilla mixed, like a cherry vanilla and a few other ones, and that was really goopy and it tasted super great. And then there was Kissing Coolers. Those were like a little lipstick thing, and they had a swirl. It was like a tinted swirl.
Oh, okay.
So that's just, you know, those are just three to get you started.
I mean, I have similar memories about the little pots, but I can't remember like brands and flavors that I cared about. Actually, what I remember carrying around a lot was the old school Carmex pot that had, again, that very menthol-y, like almost not burn, but like that make your lips kind of tingle. And almost thinking that it was like purposefully reactionary to all of the flavors and fancy, that it was just Carmex, like in a kind of like purposefully scaled back retro way.
I did not like Carmex. I don't like the way it feels on my lips.
You know, the Bonnie Bell chapstick and the different flavors. I just don't remember caring quite as much as you did, maybe.
I cared deeply. And I would get into some and I'd like the texture. Like sometimes I'd really be wanting like a waxier one. And sometimes I'd really be wanting, oh, you know who else made a really good one? I don't know if they still do. Is Bath and Body Works. They had these like fat tubes of lip balm in several different flavors.
Okay.
I liked a lot too.
So. When in that SheKnows.com blog post, one that came up, which is later, was the MAC lip glass. Do you remember that?
Oh,
so that I think
of.
I was in college. So that would have been like very, like even probably early 2000s. It was super shiny. So you'd put on whatever color and then it was like lacquer. And it was totally clear, completely clear. Came more like in the Vaseline squeeze tube. So I had forgotten about that one. My lipstick memory is of a Clinique. So I have two things to say about Clinique. I'll just say them both now. But Clinique was, again, the department store brand that like my mom would have shopped. Mm-hmm. And they always had the free samples or the things that came home if you bought like $25 or more. And then you came home with like the little and probably they still do that. I don't know.
They do. And because I have bags.
Yeah.
Like I'll end up with makeup bags and they're always
the
Clinique.
Makeup bags are great. But those were, you know, sometimes my mom would give me the whole bag with everything inside or like let me go through it and pick something. So I just have very like, even as a kid, like thinking that was grown up makeup, but sometimes I was treated to it via the free samples.
Right.
But then when I was a little older, there was a lipstick, kind of like a lipstick lip gloss in this skinny silver tube. And this is the one that I went Googling for because I couldn't remember the color. And sure enough, it came up right away because I was not very original. A lot of people were wearing it. So it was Black Honey, and it was their barely, it's called like Not Lipstick or something. I'll look it up.
Okay.
But the color was Black Honey, and it was, it twisted up like a lipstick tube, but skinnier and taller. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And just remember thinking it was a very versatile grown-up color.
Hmm. That does actually, I kind of want to find that now because
it was a great color. I would wear it now. It was berry, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like lipsticks that aren't super opaque and thick and that go on.
Yeah.
Like a little more color than a lip, like a balm, but a little less than a lipstick.
Yeah.
So. Hmm. Well, I just have one category left.
Okay.
But we, you know, I have no idea how long we've been talking and I didn't sing as many jingles as I would have liked. So.
I'm really disappointed.
But I have two scents. And honestly, I could probably name a dozen that I have associations with from that age, but I just picked two.
Okay.
One is Navy. I don't know if you remember Navy.
It sounds familiar.
And it was very popular. I'm going to say 89, 90, 91, like in that time frame.
Okay.
It was just in this very kind of minimalist looking bottle. The ads were all, I read a lot of fashion magazines and beauty magazines in those days. And I remember there was always like the girl always would look, you know, vaguely nautical.
Yeah, I do. This is sounding familiar.
And it was just a very fresh scent. I just remember thinking it was really light and it was kind of easy, like an easy transition from not wearing perfume into wearing perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I remember that I'd forgotten all about, this is from later in the 90s, was Sunflowers.
Oh, yes.
That one was a little sweeter. Looking back, I don't know if I'd like it now. Like, I kind of want to go smell it again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I need to go to the department or the drugstore and just smell all of the perfumes. I don't know if that you can even test those anymore. Like, I don't think they have testers out for that stuff anymore.
I don't know.
But I want to smell them all because I want to remember what they smelled like. So those
I'm
are
sure
my two.
It would
you
bring
any?
Back all of those like olfactory triggered
yes.
memories.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Like probably some disappointment, like at the seventh grade dance
yep.
will always
it
be
would
burned
all
into my mind with
back.
Electric youth or something probably.
So my scent was Heaven from Gap. And Gap had those four. There was Grass, Dream, Heaven, and one more, I feel like.
And they were color-coded, right? Like, wasn't like one of them was
Heaven,
blue and one was purple?
So I think Dream was a blue, almost like a indigo or violety blue. And then Heaven was more of like a turquoise.
Okay.
And you could get the little silver canisters that were like kind of travel size. And I mean, I think that was the only scent I wore from when I was like 12. I mean, or, you know, whenever it was fun to go get some perfume, like forever. Like, you know. I think I eventually just stopped wearing perfume, but and I loved the smell. I mean, it was, again, like not particularly original, like, but
sure.
I loved it.
Another one that just popped into my head was White Musk, Jovan White Musk, which then also Body Shop had a version, like their own version of White Musk. And White Musk is always kind of like a sweet, but I don't know, not super heavy smell. So
I remember
I've
going
smelled different
into
ones
the
all
Body
kind of
Shop.
The same.
Did the Body Shop by you have like, the actual liquid pots where you could like pull the little glasters out? Yeah. And I never created my own, but I do remember going in there with friends and just smelling and smelling and smelling. It was all the really concentrated oils or whatever, like the essential pieces of it. And then you could create whatever products. I don't think I ever did that, but I just remember going, I always remember going in and smelling patchouli and thinking it was so gross and like laughing. But this, I mean, this is when we're like literally like 11, like giggling because like,
so
why
like,
would anyone want to smell like that?
People really do love patchouli. You know?
Yeah.
It's a thing. But yes, no, I totally remember that. And I also never actually made one. I think I was intimidated by that. I wanted to smell it, but really what I wanted is someone to sell me a bottle of a scent that they had decided was good. And
I
like,
still feel
I
that
way.
I actually like when other people buy me scented, whatever, whether it's perfume or some, I prefer someone else pick it out. I just don't have like, my nose does not have strong opinions. It's like most of it smells pretty good to me. And I get really overwhelmed picking it out. So I love getting perfume as a gift.
It's kind of like when you go wine tasting.
Yeah.
And you taste the first one. You're like, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you taste the next one. You're like, that was pretty good. And then by the time you get to the fourth one, you have no memory of what the first one tastes like.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that with perfume. It's very, it is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because
and
they
I actually,
smell
I like
good.
Getting it as a gift because then it's just sort of like the decision's been made and it's something special. And
Oh, well, have we covered like all of our bodies? And
I mean, there was a lot there.
There
circa
was a lot there.
88 through 98, probably 1988 through 1998.
We spanned 10 years of personal care. And I know there's that we could have gone deeper, but, you know, I don't think anyone needs that from us today.
No, we will link up. I'll link up the couple blog posts that I found that did a fun like nostalgia, you know, where you can see the products and trigger so many memories. And then anything else we can find, we'll link up at themomhour.com.
If anybody out there still uses the traditional Noxzema in a jar or has a hot tip on where I can find it, please let me know because I'm actually kind of want to try it again.
Yeah. Let her know, people. All right. This is fun. We will talk to you guys on Tuesday.